WTBQ.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome to the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the biggest, the brightest, the most courageous entrepreneurs I can find in Orange County. And just a reminder, everybody, this show is sponsored by Miles Wealth Management and located in Florida, New York. You can reach out to us and find us on the web. You can follow us on Facebook and whatever else we do out there in the technology world. I'm sure you can figure it out better than I can. And of course, do me a favor. Feel free to always use the good old method of giving us a call, 845-651-3070. And one additional little disclosure, remember the opinions of myself and my guests are our opinions and not necessarily the opinions of WTBQ and or Miles Wealth Management or Miles Financial Services. Now that all that fun legal stuff is gone and out of the way, welcome to another show interviewing another entrepreneur located here in good old Orange County. And I thought, I've been lucky enough that Nick Napo, our marketing director, kind of found us somebody that's very appropriate for this time of the season that everybody loves so much, the accounting season. I know about you, but I just can't wait to get those taxes filed and deal with all those fun things and forms, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm lucky enough to be joined by my guest today is Bruce Johnson, who's an EA, not a CPA, an EA, and we'll get into that in a little bit here. Bruce grew up in Queens, New York. Him and his wife moved to Orange County in 2001. After moving to Orange County, Bruce decided to go back to school, pursue his degree in accounting. He attended and graduated from Baruch College with a degree in accounting. After college, Bruce worked for several CPA firms, private industry, not-for-profits, tax preparation franchises, you name it. Then he obtained his EA, an enrolled agent license, and he started his own company called Solid Tax Solutions in 2012. So not that old. Just so he knows all the little pieces and still going through the world of being a young entrepreneur. Started out in Newburgh, stayed there for about 3 years, and then he relocated his business to his location today is in Middletown, New York, which, by the way, Middletown is just really making some great strides here. And then Bruce is what I call a solo entrepreneur or solopreneur. And so he provides tax preparation and tax consulting, tax auditing representative services. And I don't want to steal all your thunder, but good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome. I really appreciate you taking the time, and we say it every week, and the fact is that's one thing we can't get back here. And more importantly, the fact that you took the time out to come be on the station with us today to hopefully, you know, help our guests with some tax tips and some some insights on what they should and should not do, given this time period that would normally any other accountant, I wouldn't be able to get through. B, they're locked in their rooms trying to get everything done before the 15th. So I sincerely appreciate you taking the time.
Not a problem.
So do me a favor. Give me a little background on yourself. Did you grow up in the area? Grew up in somewhere else?
Okay.
Obviously not Warwick, New York, or Orange County.
No. So as you opened up with, excuse me, I grew up in Queens, a New York City kid. And in my time in Queens, I had a lot of fun, enjoyed the people there in Queens, and just had an overall very good time there. But after a period of time, I felt a little bit closed in homes there, the people there were just getting a little too close. And as far as I just wanted to stretch my arms, I would start to just kind of bump into people.
Okay.
So my wife and I, we just started looking for another place outside of the city. So we started looking around in Long Island, Westchester, which, believe it or not, at that time, we thought Westchester was considered upstate.
Yes, exactly.
That was upstate.
That's upstate New York from the city.
Definitely,
yeah, I know.
Definitely.
I know.
And
we're pure cow country up here. We're not even considered in the state of New York for most people.
So just looking all over. And a friend of mine, actually a couple of friends, they told me about this place, Orange County, which I'll be honest, I had never heard of Orange County. So they said, well, Orange County, I think you might like that. It's very open. It's very spacious. The people are very friendly, and it's just country-like.
Right.
So my wife and I, we just took a ride, several rides up here, and we said, wow, this is so, so nice.
It's so, so different, I'm
and,
sure, right?
Oh, my goodness. And even from upstate in Westchester.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we looked around. We looked at different properties, and sure enough, we just fell in love, and we decided to buy, and we found a place in Goshen, New York, and That's where we ended up.
Big difference, though, huh?
Oh, night and day.
Night and day.
It's just so much room to just to maneuver, to move around.
Right.
And we're very fortunate. We have a decent piece of land, so just to be able to walk around.
Right. The people don't understand you. You actually go into a real backyard.
Yes.
Right. Not this 10x10, you know, piece of grass that we actually, you know, you don't even have to mow, quite frankly.
And, exactly.
And listen to the birds and see the cows and whatever, the wildlife. And everybody loves the deer. Not
yes.
really.
Well,
till they eat all your shrubs.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's a different show entirely. But so you got your startup, but you know it says you worked for a bunch of CPA, but a bunch of other companies during in the CPAs, and that obviously gave you your background.
Yes, it did. I worked for CPA firms. I also worked for not for profits.
Okay.
Companies in the private sector, private industry, so to speak. So I got a taste of accounting, let me just back up. After I got my degree in accounting from Baruch College, I wanted to get that practical experience. So I just started taking jobs in different areas.
Real-world experience.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And as far as the CPA firms, I was exposed to auditing financial statements as well as preparing tax returns. And I saw at that point that I really had a liking of tax returns or preparing taxes, being in that environment, even more so than conducting audits.
Interesting.
Which it was nice, but it just did not grab me.
Okay.
So while I was working at CPA firms and also some of the other places that I worked, I was volunteering with an organization where I was, as far as preparing taxes. I was volunteering in the city in the Bronx, as well as up here in two locations, actually in Warwick and Newburgh. And that gave me a different perspective on preparing taxes as far as the type of people that I would engage with.
Okay.
And in the manner that I would engage with them as opposed to the CPA firm. So it was...
So you had your natural... It's funny you say that, is that, you know, I think a lot of people that are going through, regardless of degrees or business opportunities... When you're in that industry, you're still in the industry, but there was a certain parts or segments to that industry that you felt better fitted for.
Yes,
but you can only get that if you do it, right? And then you're actually in the industry. And so funny how my daughter's getting ready to go to college, and I have a son in college right now, and you know, they have these preconceived notions of, well, this is going to be my major, and this is what I'm going to do, and we all know what happens there, and this costs more money for our parents, but the but, you know, it's not until you get that true world experience, life experience, that you can actually kind of more narrow in what you really want to do. And so, I think that's what's so neat about it.
So true. So true. I know a lot of people that I went to school with and a number of my friends, they gravitated towards the auditing aspect of it, preparing financial statements. And I said, that's okay. That's what they like. But
that's what floats your boat, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, there was just something about preparing taxes that was just a turn on for me. And I said, I know this is an area that I want to just specialize in, the area that I want to eventually go into.
Interesting. So, yeah, we're going to get into that piece of it. But, you know, it's neat that you could actually find that niche right there and then. In a matter of a few years, right? I mean, how long were you working for these firms before you kind of decided to make a leap?
2 years for one place, a couple of years for another.
Yeah.
So a series of years.
Just a series of years. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Jim Mazzetti in The American Dream. We'll be right back with Bruce Johnson right after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is Wayne Patterson of Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty and host of The Real Real Estate Show, heard every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can learn how to buy and sell properties on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ. All right, we're back. Almost missed my cue, but anyway, because I was yapping here. Welcome back, folks. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome back to The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing Orange County's best and brightest, most courageous entrepreneurs I can find. And today is no different, as every week is no different. So I got Bruce Johnson today, who's joining me from his firm. And we're very lucky to have him on board. And his firm is Solid Tax Solutions. And we're kind of get done kind of getting a background on how he came to where he is today and why he did what he's doing. And it was, we're talking just off air real quickly and how important those life experiences are. And you had the ability to work for a few other CPA firms, and I think what was really neat is you actually got to work for a nonprofit as well. And because those are different aspects of the world that, you know, not everybody gets to see.
That's so true, so right. True. Working with the not-for-profits, I would say that the tax aspect wasn't really there as, let's say, with the CPA firms, but it definitely gave me a different view of accounting.
Okay.
Even from what I did at the CPA firms. So even at the CPA firms, we would audit not-for-profits, but it's one thing to audit them, and it's another to actually work for a not-for-profit.
Two different views.
Yes, most definitely.
Right.
And that, along with the CPA firms, volunteering, that all was just put into a big pot, and that just really made me what I am today as far as the business.
Well, it gives you your experience. I've been saying that before. That's the wisdom that, you know, what entrepreneurs get, and they get them, you get it by doing, you know, and doing is where you get that wisdom and that experience, be able to impart that for the betterment of your clients.
So true. I feel that with all of this experience, this is something that I do bring, can and will bring to my customer base.
Right.
And if I did not have this, if let's say I had started, if I opened, put a shingle out right after college, I would not have that as my base.
No.
I would not have that experience, and I don't think I would be where I am today. I don't think I would be able to perform the way I can.
I think there's, without a doubt. I mean, there's a big difference between textbook experience and real-world experience, right?
Most definitely.
But listen, I got a question. Like, there's, you know, we were talking a little bit about this. I mean, I think most of us are out there are familiar with the term CPA, Certified Public Accountant. But I even admitted when I came and met you this morning that I'm not familiar with this EA. Can you
sure.
give us a difference, what the difference between the two are?
Sure. Even in my practice, I still get the response of an EA. I haven't heard of an EA before. So an EA stands for an enrolled agent. And an enrolled agent, that is signifying that you want to specialize in taxation.
Just taxation.
In taxation. It doesn't prevent you from preparing financial statements or bookkeeping or accounting or anything like that, but your concentration definitely is in accounting. So there are basically two ways that a person could become an EA. One is to be employed by the IRS. I never worked for the IRS, so...
Good. Glad to hear that.
So I couldn't go that route. And... And the other way is to take a three-part exam.
Okay.
And a three-part exam that covers various aspects of taxation. One part deals with individual taxation, another part with businesses, and the third part with representation. So obviously that was the route that I had to take. And during that period, I just, put it bluntly, I just studied, hunkered down, and just studied my rear end off.
I bet. No and easy way to do
no,
it, right?
No, no, not at all. There was a lot of material to know. And I was very fortunate. I was able to pass all three parts in the first sitting.
Oh, my God, so, really?
Yeah.
Congrats. Because I know even the CPAs I know, that's not a simple exam.
No, that is not. Yeah. So once I got my EA license, I had said that, well, it was just an accomplishment. I felt proud that
absolutely.
I had obtained this.
Right.
And with the EA license, this gives me the opportunity to represent a person in any of the 50 states, represent a person, taxpayer, before the IRS as far as an audit.
Okay, so you can represent them on their behalf in front of the IRS, okay?
Most definitely, and okay. It doesn't have to be just New York. So if someone resides in Connecticut, California, or whatever.
Oh, okay. So you're not necessarily a state license, you're federally licensed.
Yes.
Okay, that's a big difference there. Okay.
Most definitely. CPAs are licensed, they receive their license from the particular state that they reside, or if they have there's a second state that they want to practice in, then they would have to get a reciprocal license there.
But, yeah, that's dramatically different.
Yes, most definitely. So that was, knowing that I wanted to branch out onto my own, I felt that getting that EA license would be better for me.
Okay.
One, because I knew I wanted to specialize in taxations. I didn't particularly want to go out and perform audits, things of that nature. And also I knew that I was eventually going to go out onto my own. So I wanted that flexibility to be able to work anywhere or to go anywhere.
Right. And work for anybody.
To work for anybody.
Yeah. That's big picture thinking. That's much different than your typical, like, I might get myself in trouble. I'm sure all the accountants aren't listening anyway because they're diving in their books, making sure everything's getting done. But that's not your typical accounting look. I mean, where it's they have a set path and this is what they do, and we don't veer left or right. This is what we handle. And we, it's a funny thing we say a lot, and I have a lot of accountants or friends of mine we also do business with, and we bust their chops a lot because a lot of times they tend to be historians. And I mean by the word historians, they're going, well, we should have done this and we should have done that, as opposed to what your take on generally is you're working with that person to actually obtain the best goals. And I'm assuming you're preparing throughout the year, not just necessarily that time when we have to file our taxes.
Throughout the year. My concentration is during this particular time, but I am available. I am open year round.
Okay.
So if anyone has a, let's say if I put someone on extension, or even if someone else put them, another preparer put them on extension, and they want to come to see me to actually prepare their tax return, whenever the case might be, they'll have 6 months between now and October to get that done. So
okay.
That's one of the things that I would be doing. Also, there's a tendency for the IRS to send out audit notices after tax filing season.
Oh, is that right?
There's more of a tendency. Not that they can't send it out between January and April.
Okay.
But I just find that more seem to come out around June, July, when people are not even thinking about taxes. They're off on the beach somewhere.
No, I was going to say, they want to just get that notice out just in time to ruin your vacation.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, have a nice day. When you get back, we'll talk. It's so funny. But what an interesting ride, though. I'm sure it's been.
It has been. It's a lot of peaks and valleys.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, your business is no different than any other entrepreneurial business. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't just a walk in a park from day one.
Not at all. It was a challenge. I would say one of the biggest challenges was coming from that work environment, being an employee and moving to an entrepreneur, having my own business. The challenge was... In an employee situation, employee-employer situation, yes, you have to be hopefully good at your function. But for the most part, you're just concentrating on your function. And yes, you may be part of a team working with others, but still you're focusing on what you have to do and possibly how that works in conjunction with others on the team.
Right.
going out into the real world or the business world for me, putting it all on my shoulders, that was just an eye-opening experience, just that realization that everything now going to flow
through
me.
It's all on you.
All on me.
Right.
Maybe I don't necessarily have to do every single thing, but if I don't do it, I still have to know, who do I call? Who do I contact to get something done?
Right.
So that was definitely an eye-opening
experience. You're right. And that's the key difference between being an employee and being an employer or self-employed.
Yes.
Right? Where you go from, you mentioned before, doing your function and doing it hopefully very well, and that's why you're employed, to being not only being doing that function, doing it very, very well, but going out and getting the clientele, right? Marketing yourself, figuring out how to market yourself, and then setting up all those functions as, even though you're an accountant, with all those functions that have to go along with being in business for yourself. I mean, and it's, even though you have in the degrees and everything, I'm sure it wasn't, it was like, oh yeah, this is a little bit different in practice than it is in theory.
Oh, very true. Excuse me. Very true. Things you just don't learn in, you don't learn in school.
Right.
And as you said, a lot of these things happen in real time, oftentimes when you're with a client. Mm. Things can go wrong.
Let's say, and do.
The copier can just mysteriously go out of whack just when you're printing someone's tax return.
Right.
Or let's say the software decides to act up, which actually this week I had a situation with that. I had a client that was right across from me, and the software decided, I think it was a Monday morning type of thing. And,
Monday morning meltdown. You know, we get that a lot.
Exactly.
Yep.
So just knowing what to do. You can't freak out. You have to ask, hey, is this something serious, something I can take care of in 5 minutes, or something where I have to call somebody?
Right.
But it was just, for me, Jim, that transition just of going from the work world into my own business. As you mentioned, marketing.
I remember that realization for ourselves going, okay, congratulations, we're in business. Now what? Right?
Exactly. Who do I go after? Everybody, anybody. That definitely was an experience. I just started out, I think, like a number of entrepreneurs. When you first open the doors and say, okay, I'm going to just basically look for anybody, for
take
anyone to come
approach,
in.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is not necessarily the correct route to go. I've found over time that it's better to sort of define or kind of narrow down who your customers, your customer base will be, mm-hmm. who you're looking for, rather than to take that shotgun approach.
And how'd you go about visualizing that? Was it just kind of a trial and error, or did you kind of have in your mind after doing a few months and of returns and appointments going, this is kind of where I see myself better?
Sure. For me, it was actually a bit of both.
Okay.
In that definitely was trial and error. Because in the beginning, I was seeking everybody and anybody, and that was pretty much what I did get.
Yes.
Everybody and
good
anybody.
Point. All right.
And I saw that was a bit helter-skelter, and that I did not necessarily want to have just everybody and anybody. So I started focusing on where I would have more of a connection with my customers. So I started looking I wanted to build my base with individual tax returns, but let's say those who were homeowners, those who maybe had a side business, maybe they had a home office working from home, new businesses, small business owners. And I felt more connected with those or with that group of clientele.
You just related better.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, I think, and it's funny how you say that, because in our firm, we have quite a few representatives that work with our firm in Florida. And I personally, when I work with these individuals, you know, there's certain clientele that come in that I know would work better with that individual than necessarily myself. And knowing, sure. you know, where your best niche is and who you work best with, it's not the simplest thing in the world to find out, by the way.
No, definitely trial and error, as right. you said.
And especially when you're young, you're starting out a business, like you said, and most entrepreneurs go, listen, anybody goes to that door, I'm just thankful, you know, thankful for to have it. But then, you know, if you want to grow your business and take it to another level, then you have to start defining those roles and defining your vision as an entrepreneur that best suits you and your skill set, which obviously you, took you a little bit, but you did it.
Sure, very true. And also just, Jim, with the nature of the business, taxation. Taxation is so broad.
And complex,
most definitely. Excuse me. And there is just so many areas to cover that, quite honestly, there is not one person who knows it all. And if someone says they know everything about the Internal Revenue Code, they're not telling you the truth.
Absolutely.
So for me, I just said that I think, A, it's a good marketing, a good strategy for marketing to just kind of narrow my focus, the specialty to just certain areas. And then also, secondly, just the realization that the tax code is so huge that I can't focus on just everything.
I appreciate your honesty on that, because I think that is a huge part about what makes good entrepreneurs better, or if not best, is the honesty that, listen, I can't know it all, so therefore let me specialize in a piece of it that I know I can do the best I can for my clientele. With that, this is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream. We'll be right back with Bruce Johnson from Solid Tax Solutions right after this.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. WTBQ
Weather. We have a wind advisory in effect for today up until about 6 o'clock tonight. Mostly sunny skies, though strong gusty winds. Our highs should reach into the upper 40s to near 50, winds gusting over 40 at times. Clear tonight, diminishing winds and cold, 24. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and breezy with a high warmer into the upper 50s. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, near 40, and clouding up on Thursday, breezy and warmer. There's a chance of afternoon showers as we get into the middle 60s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima. WTBQ.
Thank you, sir. Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome back to the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday, right? Today's Tuesday? It is. Okay. Every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best, the brightest, most courageous entrepreneurs I can find in Orange County, and Bruce Johnson is one of those today. Been lucky enough to have him join us this morning, and very cool conversation. I always have these great conversations with entrepreneurs because I always find them to be the most genuine people that I'm lucky enough to meet and work with each and every day, and I think it's because you have a real appreciation, I think, for not only what you do and how you do it, but for the people you represent and the passion that I can hear in your voice, that you love what you're doing. And I think it's because of the love of what you do and how you, because you love it so much, you can give that, impart that to your clientele. And that, it's neat.
Most definitely, Jim. For me, let's just say to even define success, for me, success is not necessarily just a monetary or a dollar figure.
Right.
But how my clients feel, how my customers feel when they walk out of the door, or their experience when they are in my office. For me, I don't want the client to, I don't want to just basically say, sit down, give me your information, put in the numbers. Okay, here you go. This is what you're getting back. Thank you. See you next year.
Have a nice day. Spit out the tax return, sign here, goodbye.
Right. Exactly. That's very cold and impersonal. So for me, I look at each person who walks through the door, even returning customers, I look at them as an individual. Their situation stands on its own merits, whether it's, again, whether it's an individual, whether it's an individual with a home business, whether it's a small business that's apart from the house. I definitely want to give that personal touch. So that's what works for me.
And that's the important part of, and it's funny because you say that, and I just kind of had my own vision in my head when I meet with my accountant, who I love, Marty, you're great. But how they can actually, how he whips through all these things, I have no idea. But it's a different way. I mean, and again, he's a different type of design than you are, and yours is much more on a personal basis because you're asking a lot more in-depth questions, I feel.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. It's just not, don't give me W-2s and I'll put them in the computer here, right? Yeah,
that's so true because life, there's so many different situations. You can have someone with a W-2 come in and think, and you may think, oh, well, that's very simple. But maybe asking a few questions, you'll find out different things, new things that happened this year. Oh, maybe this person started a business. They wanted to moonlight.
Okay, yep.
That's something different. Now we may be talking about a Schedule C. Did they get married over the course of the year? That can lead to another factor.
Did they have children before the end of the year?
Most definitely.
Those are great tax deductions, by the way. I had my daughter December 17th. I'm like, yes, there we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. A bunch of years ago, but I remember going, my wife goes, oh, this is amazing. I go, oh, it's great. I get called Marty. I go, hey, listen, add one more. So. But you're right. All those little, those probing questions, that's the differentiating factor between, somebody who just does the job and somebody who actually does the job right. And you actually have, and I tell you, I love to see, you need to see more and more. And that's the difference between successful entrepreneurs and ones that just get by.
Sure. And like I said, for me, it's just definitely that personal touch because I've been on the other end of the table, the other side of the table, and having my taxes prepared many, many years ago. So I know what I've experienced and I know what I like, what I did not like. And I definitely saw room for improvement, areas where I can, say, take a different path as far as customer service. So that has stuck with me. That remained with me throughout my career. Exactly. So what really, as I said before, as far as success, what makes me happy and I feel successful is when the client just can look me in the eye and just say, wow, I really did not know that. All of these years I've had my taxes prepared with someone else and I did not know that.
Right.
You're showing me how I could save money, deductions I did not know were even there. I had a new client earlier this week. She has a home-based business. Actually, it's a couple, but she has a home-based business. And she had her taxes prepared, obviously, by someone else for the past few years. And just, I know she probably just got tired of hearing me just asking so many questions about the business, just wanting to be very meticulous.
Right.
But I knew that I wanted to get every deduction for her. And at the end, she was just, her and her husband were just so overwhelmed. And they just thanked me. They were just so appreciative because there were so many things that they didn't even know, so many deductions that they could take legally.
Right.
That they can take for their home-based business. And that made me feel good. That really made me feel very good.
And you should, because that's the differentiation between you and somebody else. And it doesn't, and again, we go back to, listen, this applies to all businesses, quite frankly, and anybody with a degree or a license to practice whatever. Just because they have the degree doesn't necessarily make them the best person for your situation. And, and those little pieces you're talking about when you're sitting asking those probing questions, which is what you're referring to when you're sitting down with that mom and pop type of solution, that makes a difference between, again, a good job and a great job, but also helping that business understand their business and helping them move forward. And listen, you got to know the score, whether you like it or not, right?
Well, very true. Very true. And I want to see people to be successful, particularly those who are in business for themselves. Right. I want to see them develop and to grow. And I want to play a part in that.
Right. That's what floats our boat, right? I mean, that's my biggest joy is when we work with clients as well. You want them to be successful. You know, rising tides raise all ships, right? So I mean, you don't want to ever see any. And if we can help them, especially what you do for your clients, help them, you know, utilize within the law the best deductions and solutions for their situation. I mean, all the better. And since I have you here, and we're lucky enough to have an accountant on, you know, on the air today, you know, I want to kind of get into some questions that you're kind enough to take the time with. And, you know, so tell us, we get the filing deadline for both tax year 2015 and 2012. What's the difference between the filing deadlines?
Okay.
If you can explain a little bit of that.
Sure, no problem. Well, the first thing, filing deadline for 2016.
Okay.
We all know April 15th, but for this year, for 2016, it is actually, for most people, it is actually on the 18th, the Monday.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, because there is a holiday on the 16th, a Saturday. It's called Emancipation Day. And being that that is celebrated on the 16th, it's actually moved to the closest or the nearest
business day,
which is obviously Friday.
Okay.
So Friday is considered a federal holiday, even though that holiday is celebrated in basically in Washington, D.C.
Of course, only there.
Of course. So that moves to Monday the 18th for most people. And I say most people because there's another holiday that's celebrated by residents of Massachusetts and Maine, called Patriots Day.
Of course, right.
So for them, that date is the 19th, the following day. And the only reason that that is moved, that's actually a state holiday, but for the IRS offices located in Massachusetts and Maine, they're closed. So those people are not able to...
Only our federal government will take every opportunity, take any vacation day they can, right? Too amazing. When you also, organization is, you're putting down here, is a very key to getting your taxes done correctly as well, sure.
Organization, it's so basic. Organization, have your files together. I tell particularly my newer customers just to kind of segregate what you have. If you're an individual, have all of your W-2s, any bank interest that you might receive, put that in, let's say, one folder. Have your expenses in another folder. Just don't put them all together and just put them in a pot or a shoebox.
Right. And say, here's my box, figure it out.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And the same thing with businesses, just to separate your income from your expenses. Because in the end, that makes it easier for the taxpayers, so they kind of have an idea of what they're getting or what they have. And it also makes it easier for the tax professional. It makes it easier for me.
Okay.
So that's why I say organization is definitely key.
He was being nice. It was kind of a selfish thing on his part. He's like, please just bring it in, not in a brown paper bag, which I've actually had clients go, here's my box of my financial information. Please figure it out. So, yes, be kind to your tax preparer.
Yes.
What about extensions?
Extensions. So, extensions, particularly in this time of year, are important. If, let's say, you don't have all of your items together, if you're still waiting for a statement from a broker, let's say a corrected statement from a broker.
They all came out late this year, actually.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did. If you're maybe waiting for a K-1. These are examples of why you want to file an extension. Don't just haphazardly say, okay, well, the 18th is coming, so I'm just going to file anyway and deal with it afterwards. File the extension is very simple to do. I'll take care of that for them. You file for the federal, file for the state, New York State, and you receive an automatic 6-month extension. But I would just want to point out that with an extension, that is just an extension to file your taxes. So you have an additional 6 months to file.
But that's not paying.
Exactly. Right. Some people are under the misconception, oh, well, I have 6 months. I know I owe, so that $3,000, oh, well, I have until October to pay. And no. That is due on the 18th.
It is it's a misconception. I know all of us would love to think that, but it is actually, that's a common one to think of. I got an extension, so I don't have to worry about it. I think I'm glad you brought that up because that's farther from the truth than you can imagine. But I'll tell you, the common mistake is most of these people don't know what they owe. and until they sit down with their tax professional. So just merely calling up your accountant and saying, hey, file my extension and, you know, we'll go from there, isn't probably the smartest move.
So true. So true. I would tell my customers to bring in what you have, just bring it in, and then we'll run a tax return and see what we have, run the numbers. If you do in fact owe, there are several ways to handle that. I would recommend to pay as much of that, if not all of it, pay it all by the 18th.
Okay.
So you're not, so you don't fall into the trap of being penalized for underpayment of.
And those payments they're not small.
No, not at all.
No.
They can really hurt you.
Yeah.
So pay as much as you can.
In a big way. All right, we're going to take a quick break here with Bruce Johnson. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. We'll be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
Hey, it's your turn to speak up. I'm Zach Kruk, the host of Speak Up, where you voice your opinion on issues affecting us in our nation and in our community. Speak up and call in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. Remember, here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing entrepreneurs from Orange County. And you know, remember, folks, it's amazing. There's so many entrepreneurs out there. As a matter of fact, there's 26 million entrepreneurs, small businesses out there, and 22 million of which are the solo entrepreneurs. And, you know, there's a great number that come in each and every year, and there's actually an equal amount of that go out of business each and every year. And I think the difference, a lot of that is, listen, we don't have the crystal ball here, but, you know, preparation, choosing your team, the right team, especially if you're a business person, starting out, you know, we always advise them to go, listen, whether you like it or not, you should absolutely have an accountant on board. They're one of your most trusted advisors because they know the ins and outs of dealing with the state of New York, dealing with the IRS. Very big piece of your team, and then having an attorney on hand to help you make sure set up the right structure, right?
Sure.
And actually, I think accountants, people don't think about this, but accountants are very good at helping advise what structure might be the right setup too.
Most definitely. An attorney, as you mentioned, can talk to a prospective business owner as far as setting up a structure from the legal end of it.
Right.
I would talk to them as far as the tax implications of going one way or the other. Actually, I would definitely advise that for someone who is starting out or considering going out onto their own. It's worth it. Set up a consultation, even a one-hour consultation. Let's talk. Let's talk what are you thinking of doing? What form of business are you thinking of going? Now let's see if that's viable. Are you thinking of being a sole practitioner?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of setting up a partnership? Do you want to incorporate? Are you thinking of incorporating? Is that the best way to go? Is a partnership the better way to go? And I think that a number of people have misconceptions as far as, oh, well, I just need to incorporate. I'm going into business and just protect my assets. And they just automatically go right to incorporating.
An S corporation, yeah, right.
Or and LLC. It's not, yeah, and it's definitely not, I'm not going to say that incorporating is bad, but it's not necessarily the way to go, especially someone starting out with limited funds, and if it's themselves or maybe two people going right. into the business. So as a matter of fact, I had someone, excuse me, not too long ago, another new customer, and they had a business of flipping houses.
Okay.
And they're New York residents. And for some reason, I think I have an idea why, but they decided to form an LLC in Nevada. And they are
where'd they
conducting
get that
no business in Nevada, none at all. Everything is through New York. And then on top of that, the organization or the company they dealt with had them so that they can file their taxes as an S corporation. And I asked them,
wow,
why did you do that? There was really no need for that. And they talked about protecting their assets and that Nevada has better laws there. And as far as privacy of the owners. And I said, well, you know, that's all well and good, but your business is here in New York and you're going to be governed by the rules of New York, number one. And number two, you could have accomplished the same thing by just filing an LLC.
Right.
And becoming an LLC. But I said, set up an appointment with me, we didn't know each other then, but if you would have called someone, hopefully it would have been myself.
Right.
We could have had this discussion. And I just say, is money well spent for a 1 hour consultation?
You're so dead on too. And we recommend this and we tell our clients, I mean, if you're even considering about throwing your hat into the ring, becoming your own entrepreneur, you know, get the right advice up front. And actually, sometimes get multiple opinions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, like you said it before, I mean, we don't know everything about everything, you know, so specialty. And, you know, this particular client, you know, their job was, you know, working with homes and hopefully turning them for a profit. But that, you know, you could have had a law practice or a doctor's practice that might not be in your best specialty. Right. And so you got to go out there and get the information. You can't hope and poke, as I always say, that you're going to get the right thing done and hope that life is going to treat you well. And it's so well worth it, folks. If you're out there thinking about this, spend a couple of dollars up front. It'll be the cheapest investment you've ever made, because the alternative is, I'm telling you, it is just not good. It literally could cost you thousands, if not millions, if the company's not set up properly.
Very true.
Right. And obviously, all those things can be dealt with later. But it, you know, why put yourself through the pain of dealing with something, fixing it, as opposed to setting it up right?
Yeah, I tell people, just think about it. You're going into business. Okay, there's going to be a money outlay. Why not spend a relatively small amount of money for a consultation? Get the advice.
Right.
See an attorney. See a tax professional. Get that advice. It can cost you. It's the saying, the penny wise, pound foolish.
Absolutely.
It's really not worth it. Get the advice before you get started, and it can just help a long ways down the road.
Take the time. You got to put the time in. You can't ignore it. And you know, we're going to make sure. I just want to hit a couple other things here. On our list here, what are the things, the highlights that you think we got to hit here for people that should know about coming into this tax season?
One is as far as IRAs, and just quickly, there may be some people who say, I want to contribute to an IRA for 2015, and they feel that, oh, that's too late. I had to do it by December 31st.
Right.
Well, actually, you can still contribute to an IRA, actually, till the 18th, the end of filing season this year.
Right.
That does not include extensions. So even if you do file for an extension, you still have to...
You have to do it by the 18th.
Do it by the 18th.
Right.
And just one little side note, is really not applicable now because it's kind of late in the year. But if someone has a traditional IRA and they want to make take a deduction for that that traditional IRA, if it's earlier in the year, let's say February, they can, if they don't have the funds, they can take the deduction on the return, if they know they're going to get a refund. Once they get their refund, they can use that refund and make a contribution into that traditional IRA.
That's a nice piece of advice.
Just make sure it's going in. You are putting the same amount in that you took the deduction for.
Gotcha.
So if you're taking the deduction for $3,000, make sure you put $3,000 in.
Yeah, actually, you have to actually fund these things. They can't just mysteriously get their money and buy themselves. But that's a great piece of advice. If you know you're going to get it, you know, do it in advance. You know, come see it.
Definitely.
Make it
definitely.
Happen. What about, I love this one, paying your estimated taxes.
Estimated taxes. I think it's very, very good. There are a number of people who just aren't aware of estimated taxes, particularly those in the workforce.
Right.
They're just familiar with W-2 or what's taken out in my what's taken out in their paycheck.
Right.
With estimated taxes, I highly recommend that for people who, let's say, have a source of income where there are no withholdings. So people involved in real estate sales.
Divorces.
Okay.
Absolutely. We deal with those on a regular basis, unfortunately. And I know it all too well, but yes.
So if you have a source of income that where there are no withholdings,
right.
Definitely you want to pay estimated taxes 4 times a year. April, June, September, and January of the following year.
Great piece of advice there. And listen, before we lose or run out completely out of time here, do me a favor. How do we find you?
Sure. Well, I am located in Middletown, centrally located at 40 Grove Street, Suite 106A. You can also give me a call, 845-344-1040.
Okay.
I think that would be easy to
remember. Great phone number, huh?
And we're on the web. SolidTaxSolutions.com. We're on Facebook, Solid Tax Solutions. And also I write a blog. It's under a different name.
Oh, you do?
Yes. It's the Tax Nook. So it's the TaxNook.com.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time today. As I always say, Bruce, our listeners, myself especially, we get how important our time is and we don't get it back. And I really appreciate you taking that out of your day to be with us today and giving all this great advice and hearing your story. I mean, it's an inspiration, quite frankly, for all those out there. And I know many people may think that accounting is not the most exciting thing in the world, but you know, it's what floats your boat. And I think one of the most impressive things I heard today, and I hear it a lot, and I'm glad to hear you say it, is that you're doing it. We do it more for not just the monetary, side of it. It's what we get back from giving. I think that's the key.
True.
Right? The life.
Very, very true. I think if someone gets into business just for the money, I personally think that's the wrong reason to get into a business, to have your own business. That will come. If you're providing a good service or if you have a good product, the money will come.
Right. I agree. Give the value. Give it out there.
Most definitely. Right. Most definitely.
I appreciate it. And listen, folks, thank you for listening to us. And we're looking forward to hearing from you next week. Again, this is Jim Mazzetti from The American Dream. You can find us here or listen to us every week from 10 to 11. And we're looking forward to hearing from you next week. God bless and be profitable.